Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, happening June 30th through July 4th from noon to 10 p.m. Single-day passes are now available, as well as the Blues Buddy Pass, the Benefactor Pass, and many other options to enjoy the blues in person. Again, that's the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. Saturday, June 30th through July 4th, noon to 10 p.m. at Waterfront Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2017.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Open Source Bridge Conference, June 20th to 23rd at the Elliott Center in Portland. Open Source Bridge is a conference for developers working with open source technologies and for people interested in learning the open source way. The conference has five tracks connecting people across projects, languages, and backgrounds to explore open source. Again, that's the Open Source Bridge Conference, June 20th to 23rd at the Elliott Center, 1226 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And good morning, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
We're back.
And positively revolting, as ever. So, dear listeners.
Boy, you leave the country for a few, couple of weeks.
What happens?
It doesn't matter, though.
Well, that is the thing. And so here we are back from a very short sojourn where we had a little decompression, and I myself tried actually not to look at a whole lot of U.S. news. I looked at a lot of local news to the area I was in, which was also kind of interesting, and let's just say, wow, many things happening around the world, right? We tend to focus in our own backyard, well, because it's what impacts us the most. It's where we also have the most impact.
You know, there's a sign in the bar at a bar in Puerto Vallarta that says, "Relax, you're on the fun side of the wall,"
which, you know, I think is true as far as tourists go. But then I started talking to friends who are Mexican and who, we started talking about matters of alienation. We started talking about how social support works, how, you know, when we got back to the States, I have to say that Lynn and I have talked about this a little bit this week, that there is a sense of chronic tension and stress.
Anxiety,
that's the word. That's the word thanks, Lynn.
No problem.
That is ever-present here that we have normalized.
Omnipresent, yes.
And it is, it's not normal, it's not healthy, it's not good, it's not productive, right? It's like we have forgotten as a nation how to take a deep breath and remember that we have each other, and to, as we continue to try to improve the world and improve our backyards and make positive social change happen, how to in fact not kill ourselves while we're doing it, right? So this is one of those major shifts that I have experienced just in this last week of how long it took me to sort of take that deep breath and unclench, you know, getting to the okay, so sure, we were in Mexico.
Well, I think that's important just because it's not like it's an easy life for Mexican people. Everybody works 6 days a week.
Yeah.
They have the lowest minimum wage in the world. Last time we were there for an election, people were campaigning about that. I don't know if folks get that their government is corrupt and then go on with, but there's their lives. You know, they're not less corrupt, but the people stick together within themselves, and the infighting among Americans and how we seem to let as above, so below be our mantra, that is just so freaking harmful. And we have to remember to care for each other. Like what our friend was saying, that if someone doesn't feel well at work, they go, well, go home. We'll take care of this for you.
And knowing that the next time that person's having a horrible day and is messing things up, somebody else is going to cover for them. That there is a sense of social bonding and social obligation that is sort of at a very practical level. Whereas here, not so much. Again, that alienation has intensified. And I think that that's something that was really just palpable to me when I got back to the States, when I'm talking to friends and family here. Just after being gone for about 3 weeks, it was eye-opening to see how stressed out we live in this country and how we accept that as a norm. Not okay. We need to find ways to be real with each other, to support each other. And I got to say, to stop nitpicking each other to destruction. So there are a few things that have happened over this last, month. I know it seems like ancient history now because history is what happened 10 minutes ago, and this is a couple weeks. The June 4th protests. Myself, I was already gone, but I watched a live stream so that I felt, you know, connected by remote process. So the June 4th protests, what the heck was that? If folks still feel the need to talk about it, we are here for you. I'm fascinated by the fact that Wheeler actually seems...
Mayor?
Sure.
Well, just so you know, there's listeners all over the world.
Mayor Ted Wheeler actually wrote a letter to the police following that, asking the police to actually justify its use of crowd control weapons on the folks. And they say the Antifa protesters, but frankly, they were used on everyone. Because I saw the live stream, right? And there are church groups, there are Antifa protesters, there are people of conscience coming together to say white supremacists don't have a place in our town. That to lump everyone under one banner of Antifa protesters is disingenuous at best. So I am curious about this because up until now, Wheeler has really just seemed like, yeah, go get them, Tigers. You know, when he's talking to the cops, backing up cop policy, talking about how, you know, we always defend the right to protest, but you have to do it in these very restricted and permitted ways. And, remember to say please and thank you at all times.
He appears
and cross
to
at the
be
lights.
Very conflict averse.
He's very conflict averse, right? But I am curious about the fact that Wheeler sent a letter to the police chief asking for some justifications around their behaviors. I'm wondering, I know that we have folks who have tried to engage with Mayor Wheeler over the last 6 months to try to get some policies that are humane around housing and homeless and poverty and police issues around racism in Portland. I know that there's a steady concerned group that tried to engage him. And I'm wondering what y'all think of this letter. I'd love to hear some responses from you. There's other things that have happened. I have some serious questions about what it would take for a white person to be labeled a terrorist. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there.
I had to laugh. It's not funny.
It's, you know, and but, yet gallows humor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm a little confused at how a white guy can go ask specifically if the senators and their staff who are practicing a softball game, baseball game, are Republican. Finding out they are, he starts to shoot them. And he's not a terrorist. He has an anger management problem. I am curious as all get out about that. How does that work? I think it works the same way that Deer, who shot people at a Planned Parenthood, who was also white a couple years back, killed a cop, actually, also had some anger management issues. Not a terrorist.
Or are
anger
they just
management.
Or are they just mentally deranged, as in the fellow who apparently slit some folks' throat?
Oh, right. Jeremy Christian on the train.
Yes, yes.
Also, well, he was having some mental illness issues. He also had some anger management, and beyond that, you know, he has some mental illness issues. But again, terrorist? No. So what's that about, right? I'm just curious. The young man who killed a 17-year-old Muslim girl, close to a mosque by running her down with his car, then putting her body in his car and dumping her in a pond. That was road rage, not terrorism, not a hate crime. He was also not white, but I'm curious, very curious. When crimes happen against Muslim people, it's regrettable, I'm sure. But if a Muslim person so much as spit on the sidewalk, I'm pretty sure that's labeled an act of terrorism now. And that double standard for some reason is just writ large for me at this time. I cannot quite get over that one. And so I pose the question, what would it take for a white person to be accused of terrorism? Just curious. All right. So I have other questions. I've got so many questions. I think we could call this show A Bunch of Questions, Not Many Answers.
Should we give the phone number so
Let's
folks can call in?
Let's engage. Good morning. Our number is 503-231-8187. If you would like to call on in with your what is it that has been what stories, what events have most impacted you in the last few weeks? What are you doing to try to improve things? How are you taking care of yourself so that you're not living in a stress bubble? Because I have to say that overall will not help us. And what gives you hope? Those are some of my big questions this morning. 231-8187, 503-231-8187. You can also engage us on Facebook. You can find our page there, Positively Revolting. You can also engage us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
Aha. As well you should. So other things going on. There was an election in Georgia this week that John Ossoff and a woman named Karen Handel, who is like a champion of voter suppression. Like, I'm saying, how are we ever going to have, you know, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. But I just wonder how we will ever have electoral politics. Say there was someone I cared about who was running. How will we ever have electoral politics in this country with the amount of gerrymandering that's going on. And did you ever wonder where gerrymandering came from? I did,
Lynn. I think I asked you that moments ago.
I know. And apparently it's really funny. A guy named, it's been around since like 1811. This guy named Eldridge Gerry, who was a governor of Massachusetts, endorsed an electoral district that was said to look like a salamander. Call it a gerrymander, a wit said, and it stuck. So it's
now
about redistricting. Now, that's supposed to take place when the census happens, but the Republicans have just been seeing where Democrats win and then redistrict things so that there is, even with more votes, the Republicans seem to win. It's a very sort of complicated system. But in Wisconsin, lawyers have advanced the case and argue that they stand a good chance of prevailing with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This is from an article by John Nichols in The Nation, that even with a high court that leans to the right on many issues, the decision by the federal jurists on the lower bench was carefully constructed to withstand challenges. That's as good. If it's upheld, it'll lead to a redrawing of the maps of Wisconsin. And that, my friends, is called precedent. So that we might, because there's just like, the Democrats poured a gazillion dollars into John Ossoff's campaign, but Karen Handel, and I'm sure you can refer to Greg Palast, has been talking about this for a long time, has a long history. She was Secretary of State of Georgia, of suppressing votes. This is different than voter fraud. This is voter suppression, where people's votes, people's registration is tossed out, so folks can't vote. And it's long, it's ugly, and that's sort of the bottom line. I was listening to all sorts of people talk about this election in Georgia, and the only people. And I still haven't heard anything from Greg Palast yet, and John Nichols has been talking about it a little bit. Nobody talked about voter suppression. It was like what the Democrats did wrong. And trust me, they do a lot wrong. That's just not it. But it doesn't matter what you do if people's votes can't be counted. And we certainly can't call ourselves a democracy. I would call us, I don't know, oligarchy right now? Mm-hmm. What would you say?
I would say oligarchy pretty much works.
Pretty much works. So what do you think of that, folks? That's another one. 503-231-8187.
Let's go ahead and talk to Amy and see what she has to add. Good morning, Amy. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you have to say this morning?
You're on the air.
Okay, so Portland and the water and the...
oh, gosh, there's that. You're right.
Yeah, the water... How about the Washington, it's a nice place that was 100 years old. They shut it down. They put the locks on there.
Well, let me get back to the water for a second. Are you speaking about
the new attempt to fluoridate?
Yes, the new attempt to fluoridate. I was thinking of the guys. Is that what you're talking about?
They shut down the... the places of water, the reservoirs.
Because of the federal mandate to poison the water for cryptosporidium?
Reservoirs. They shut the water reservoirs down.
Yeah.
They shut down the Washington Reservoir. They drained it.
Now, do you mean Washington Park? You talking about Washington State? Where... I'm a little
unclear. The Washington Park Reservoir, they shut the water down. They drained it.
Right.
I believe they did at Mount Tabor also.
Yeah. So this government doesn't really like people, and they're trying to kill us. Did you know that?
It does seem that way.
Well, it certainly does seem like they're not acting in people's interests. I would have to give you that. It is the whole fight over the reservoirs have been going on for...
I want KABU to cover this.
Okay.
I want KABU to be the speaking voice for the people. And I'm looking at KABU and I'm wondering, why doesn't KABU
Have you listened to the news?
Every Wednesday.
Almost every Wednesday. I mean, have you listened to the news?
Every
at 5?
Wednesday.
Have you listened to the news at 5?
What I think we're having a little... at 5?
Well, we cover it. I mean, these things are covered.
So, but again...
I'm not sure that the things are covered, and I think you should be making sure that the water isn't taken away. Well, it is. So, if it's covered
sure.
on... If it's covered on the news, why is the water poisoned? Why are the reservoirs covered?
Cool, Amy.
Shut down.
These are very good questions, and
yeah.
I think definitely many programs around KBOO and the news on KBOO have looked at what's happening with the reservoirs. I know we've done programs on it last year.
Well,
and we need to continue doing those programs. It's true, and we need to continue covering these issues because water is life, and water, you know, our reservoir system, the Bull Run watershed.
Your water is taken away, and so KBOO is just like going by the board.
Yeah, I don't, not sure exactly what you mean by that. Water.
What I mean is that you're not out there. You're not caring about it enough. That's
okay.
Why.
All right. I think I hear you, and I'm more than happy to make sure that that gets passed along to all other hosts and the news.
You sound like those congressional aides. I'm happy to pace. I'm gonna be happy.
I can't quite hear you, Amy.
I'm saying
I got what you're saying. It is of great concern, and yes. People do need to make sure that that is actively covered, and I believe that we have been covering it and that we will continue to do so.
Because the water's being poisoned.
Gotcha, Amy. Thanks very much for your call this morning. And there are, in fact, so many issues. That's the thing. There are so many issues. And we do need to be actively talking about them. We do need to be informing ourselves and each other. We do need to, make sure that we have good, accurate information that then people can decide what action folks need to take, what actions they themselves need to take. Because
it takes a huge groundswell of people. It takes a huge groundswell of protest and action. There is KBOO, and then there we are not the entire population. Oh, that we had the power to wave a magic wand and make it, or just if we covered it, we've covered it, it's gone. Oh gosh, that would be fun.
But what we do have is the power of getting news out there.
Yeah.
And then, as people receive the news, decide what you need to do with that. And it's important. There are, in fact, so many things to be vigilant about. And certainly the Bull Run watershed, the reservoir system, these are some of those issues that are super serious, super important. Lynn had mentioned to me a couple of days ago about the new attempts to fluoridate the waters. Whether you love fluoride or hate fluoride, it's like I remember first hearing about this fight when I was in first grade.
We have voted it down we've voted it down in Portland 3 times, but I've got to get this
all?
Man's...
Because,
that's
I mean,
all.
One of them was when I was in first grade.
I forgot to, three that I remember anyway. He's an appointee. I've got to look up his name really fast because I did not have that on my agenda of things to talk about and should have. Who kind of wants to supersede the people and just do it. He's got 3 or 4 cities that are not fluoridated. You know, I have a friend that's a water scientist who said, really, whether you like fluoride or don't, why would someone want to mess with one of the last pristine water supplies in the country?
Well, and I think that that is really a super good question.
Thank you.
But we know that industry has wanted to actually use the Pristine Bull Run for its purposes and have people drink out of the Willamette and the Columbia. We've seen that effort over the years. Water, it's a serious thing. We do need to continue to cover water issues in town. Let's go ahead and talk to David. Good morning, David. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to thank KB for everything they do and basically... I want to also say that I believe they drain the water reservoir in Mount Tabor to prevent a lot of the evaporation and the potential for harming that water source and get really close to it. And I also believe that they have a plan to put a cogeneration, or there's a study being done to see if there's a possibility of cogeneration from thermal heat in the ground, and so I'm in favor of what they're doing. I hate to see that water body go away. I like lakes and ponds and whatnot, but this is our drinking water. Let's not fluoridate it, but let's use the resources that we have to provide the community with safe drinking water. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Safe drinking water. Fabulous idea, David.
Thank you very much for that call. And there's so many other things. Lynn, did you have another little list of things? Because I've got a couple more.
Well,
we have more callers, and I do want to remind people the number to call and join us this morning is 503-231-8187. We're just going to keep throwing questions out because, again, we got a lot of them.
Indeed. One of our dear listeners has said it was the 1940s when it was first voted, fluoride was first voted down. Just, and I'm thinking of...
That was before I was in first grade.
Yeah, way, just a couple of years. So way more times than three was all I knew of. I've got to find this guy's name who wants to just do it.
Just
enough of this voting. I believe that there seems to be this frustration on political folks about having to vote these things in. It's really frustrating for them.
That democratic process, it takes time. You have to get the majority of opinions.
And
you don't have to get the majority of opinions. There's voter suppression and gerrymandering. Whoa, we get back to that. See, I can tie everything together. Uh-huh. True. Like, in a democracy, you do actually have to present a case, and you actually get an empowered people to state their opinion on a ballot, and then, you know, there's actions that follow. But that's a democracy, and that's not what we're used to in this country anymore. We call it democracy, but it ain't. It's really, it's ran like a horse race. There's a whole lot of propaganda and marketing. No one says that what you put out actually has to be truthful. And it's really about who has the most marketing dollars. And then if you want to get into the bigger races, it's about who actually has the ability to influence state elections by purging voter rolls and suppressing votes. And that's not democracy, but that is the system we have. So there's that.
Should we talk to Paul?
Yeah, let's do that. Good morning, Paul. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Well, you can tell. How do you think it's going, Paul?
Well, you know, I'm a union organizer, I'm a former journalist, I'm a former adjunct faculty. I'm right now a social worker working for $20 an hour with a couple master's degrees. And I'm working with foster youth. So, I mean, the implosions that are happening in America, they've always happened. I'm 60.
Yeah.
And we've never had a democracy. But your last caller, who was pretty upset about the water, I think the general anxiety disorder that a lot of people have in this country, it goes back to genocide. It goes back to this country's founding, destruction of Native peoples, and then importing slavery. And I think Americans, you know, that it's great that we want the pursuit of happiness, but, you know, I have friends in Mexico who are teachers who put tires on the road, burn them to try to get a few dollars per day more as teachers. I think other countries are actually a lot more sad than we are, and we deserve to be a lot sadder. You know, we just heard what Nick Turse said about Sudan and Libya, and
yes.
And 11 million babies a year die in the world of treatable, you know, dysentery diseases. So I think what that woman is sort of speaking to, and I'm making a leap here, is that KBOO, which is a great alternative source, if you look at the 24/7 of KBOO's programming, you're finding a lot of talk shows like this, which is great, but we kind of ramble when we talk about how bad the world is. We have a lot of music. We have a lot of, I don't know, there's not a lot of hard news. There's not a lot of investigative stuff, and it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. And so that woman probably is confused. You know, where are the troubadours of truth? Why can't we have more stories that are more focused? And you know, I just feel that that's true of, you know, a society that's distracted by, you know, a lot of, you know, cultural crap. And, you know, that's sort of what I'm seeing. I have young people 16 to 20 is what I deal with in the foster program. Mm-hmm. And they are not able to connect the dots. They don't know how to look at the long view of history and the long view of the future. And
well, that people age don't generally, do they?
They don't, but, you know, they do have the potential to be incredible agents of change.
Right,
and I think
absolutely.
A lot of
oh,
them,
absolutely.
You know, so.
I'm going to challenge you on one thing, though, and that is I agree that, you know, definitely the impact of the foundation of this country, founding in genocide, the slavery, the forced labor, the all of our bloody and imperialist history certainly does bear on the psyche. But I also don't think that we are doing ourselves or the world any favors by being miserable, by being anxious and not seeking relief. Because I think that we are, I mean, myself, very politically motivated, have been since I was a teenager. But I also think it's important to bond and have a good time with your friends, because this is life. This is what it's about. It's both. It's not an either or. It's a both and. And again, my friends and family in Mexico who are Mexican and who are in, you know, the struggle there, and also understand it's important to bond and have fun, as well as do the serious, dangerous, and life-threatening work of social change. It is a balancing act. And I think that we, you know, it's interesting. We survey our listeners every now and again. And the last few times, every time I've been aware that we've surveyed our listeners on the mix of public affairs and news and music, we have about a third of the people say we want more music. We have about a third of the people say music's a waste of time, we want more news. And we have about a third of the people that say it's about a good mix. And I think that that's sort of where we're at. It's important to value art and culture, because music saves lives. Art saves lives. It's important to have artistic expression. It's important to have pleasure. And it's important to get down to the serious, very serious business of making this world a better, safer place, where we aren't looking at the pillaging of our natural resources, the pillaging of the earth, where we are stopping that, where we are addressing racism and the fear of black men directly, so that they are not killed by police in such great and grave numbers. This is an important struggle. This is a life-threatening, you know, matters of life and death. But we also have to remember that that pleasure is important, and that sustains us
and community.
And there is a balance.
Well, there is, and I'm an artist too, and I understand that. But I think that the type of pleasures, if you went through Portland or the Tri-County area, you would see that that's all we do. You know, foodies. We spend a lot of time on the superficial. We kind of entertain ourselves to death. There's an infantilism. So I believe in strong art, not popular culture, you know, crack cocaine kind of immediate mm-hmm. Need art. Mm-hmm. I think that You know, there are other people around the world whose art is being destroyed by our bombing. You know, great
totally.
Cultural art in other countries. Our weaponry is a type of destructive force. And so, you know, we have some of us enjoy life, and we enjoy that our blinders are off, and we enjoy the fact that we have knowledge and we can, you know, plow ahead.
Yeah.
But the reality is that some of us do see the consequences of this infantilism that America tends to have, and that's both on the left and the right. We need to be serious about our art, serious about our community, serious about our daily negotiations with people in Portland, and have serious conversations, and we can bond that way. But if we're all just going to veg out, and I'm not saying that's what you're proposing, but there tends to be a veg out mentality in this country. So that one caller who is this cry in the woods, she's confused, obviously, but she's... She's looking for people to help her contextualize things, and we're not doing a very good job of that. I don't do a good job of that all the time. I mean, we just have to admit that. I do like to kayak, but, you know, we have to sacrifice when the rest of the world is sacrificing so, so much for the Western elite 6% lifestyle, which is what we are. We have a lifestyle that no other country can have.
Right. However, Paul, I'm seeing that lifestyle is not so much every, you know, it is getting to be way more at the very top.
As other people are in further and further crisis and economically devastated because of the constant pillaging of the elites. Paul, I hear you. Thank you very much for your call.
We've got other folks, but thanks very much. It was really great to hear from
you. Have a good day.
You too. Have an appropriately good day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Join us. What is really getting to you? What are the stories that you are caring the most about? What stories are having the most impact on your life? What are you doing to try to have impact back? What are you doing to try to make this world a better place? How are you taking care of yourself during this time? These are the questions I have. Let's go ahead and talk to Edith. Good morning, 503-231-8187. Good morning, Edith. You're on the air.
Good morning, and welcome back. I love how we're seeing how it's all interconnected. Our individual happiness is necessary for us to have the energy, the love, and the resilience, and the flexibility, and the clear thinking so that we can interact with others interpersonally in a good way and help our community and be aware of others and then be more effective in social change and world solidarity with different species and what the hard stuff we need to do it. We cannot feed water from an empty well, and if we're too fearful and disconnected from ourselves, it's hard to have empathy and courage and resilience to be with others. So thank you for bringing out that connection and how the arts, not just petty entertainment and escapism, but really connecting to the authenticity of our soul and the real issues, and sometimes the arts pushing us out of our head and into new ways of thinking and acting are necessary. And I love the comment, crying in the woods, because as I was going to respond to an earlier caller about the water, I wanted to thank KBOO for being there for us in so many ways, letting us know about issues. I was going to say that at Mount Tabor, there's a proposal that the Parks Department could bring in more money by having year-round geothermal baths in the middle reservoir with this this electric power generator in the volcano.
Use your volcano correctly, yeah. That's
and then I was also going to say, crying in the woods, well, one of the wonderful things to celebrate that connects our personal peace and healing and our community building and friendship and solidarity and making a strong change for the world and gathering scientific data that can be analyzed efficiently is to volunteer with BARK, B-A-R-K.
We love BARK.
To go out in the woods and do some ground truthing, do walk the pipe, the areas where the LNG and other pipes that were planned to go through the Mount Hood forest, and where they want to do clear, they'd have to do permanent clear cutting because of the fire hazard and explosives of the huge, gigantic frack gas liquefied
right.
pipeline.
And don't they have like walks, if you go to their website, they have just, you don't even have to make a big commitment to volunteer, but they have educational walks through the forest.
You can have an enjoyable walk in the woods, feel some love for nature, feel nature's love for you, and connect with other people. You don't have to have a car. You can carpool with other folks. You can make that connection as we are standing the same green line against the fossil fuel infrastructure for the world's largest methanol, the world's largest LNG, North America's largest LNG, you know, Coos Bay, all the different horrific terminals, pipeline or rail to ship to East to Asia. We can make a big difference in stopping those, and it all connects. One doesn't have to be facing down riot cops. But after feeling that love and that wholeness and that groundedness, and the therapy that happens through these walks in the woods and gathering information and community building, then one does have the courage, the clarity, the clear thinking to be in solidarity during these protests and have more efficient thinking and more courage to come up with better policies. One of my concerns is we need to hold police accountable. And one of the wonderful joys that I discovered at OPAL's environmental justice presentation Thursday night is that there is an organization I did not know existed since 2015 that is statewide but based at Portland State University. We get there on free transit or, you know, easy transit. And they will gather information on the phone or meet you at a safe third party place and collect information if you want to file complaints for police, law enforcement, ICE, tribal authorities, TriMet, any kind of law enforcement that is biased, gender, race, country of origin, sexual orientation, political affiliation, including Antifa, anti-fascism. Was more groups than I can now remember,
right,
but
right.
bias, and they can help file those if you are a witness, if you're a social worker who has a client that, you know, experienced some trauma, if you are a person who's been brutalized or treated unfairly, that they can file the complaint, follow up on it, see whether or not they're stonewalling, if they do the rigorous internal investigation, and they can protect or, you know, report on if there's any intimidation, harassment, retaliation, and they can report to the Oregon governor, the Oregon legislature, and the Oregon attorney general.
Well, have
a public record.
Edith, I want to thank you for your enthusiasm and knowledge and sharing those things with us. We've got some other callers now, so
yep, that was all I was going to say. I'm done.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Happy
so
timing.
Much.
Okay, thank you so much.
You rock. 503-231-8187, the number to call. I want to let folks know, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock, there is One Land, Many Voices. We will be hearing from the author of The Unchosen, The Lives of Israel's New Others, an in-depth look at African asylum seekers and migrant workers in Israel. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia will bring you headlines, interviews, and commentary with the incomparable Chris Andre. And at 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. 11 o'clock, The Pacific Underground, a show by Asians and Pacific Islanders taking the mic into their own hands. We want to thank KBOO members. We thank you ever so much for your generous support. Without you, there is no KBOO. If you are not a current member, you can take care of that embarrassing and unsightly problem right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
It's easy. It's so very easy. Well, we have callers happening. Ray.
Good morning, Ray. You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Good morning.
What's up?
You were talking about water several times today, and it's a big deal with me. I'm sort of a water connoisseur. I like to go and find natural waters, you know, and just drink them. And there's a place in, I don't know, maybe a lot of people might be familiar with it, but it's in the gorge. It's called Iron Mike. You go to Carson, and then you drive, you know, several, many more miles. And there's this place that used to be a speakeasy in the 20s, and then they torched it, you know, after they got rid of the alcohol addiction. And there's all there's this well there, and the water is it's naturally fizzy. And it's the best water I've ever drunk. My kids and I we used to get like 35 gallons of it and bring it back and drink it, you know, until we went there again. And I was there recently, and they've closed down the well. They've taken the pump handle off, and it says it's a federal thing that there's too much iron in the water and it's dangerous. Well, you know, I've talked to people there. It's healing water, and it helped, you know, it's helped a lot of people with, you know, maybe their health issues. And so, you know, I just wondered, wow, if you started drinking this water 25, 30 years ago, and you might die now because of too much iron. Well, that's just baloney, the whole thing.
That was just the word I was going to use.
And they shut this well down. And I just wanted to tell people, if they go out there, they're not maintaining the trails or anything there. It was one of my favorite places. I backpacked, spent the night out in the woods there a whole lot, and it's, you know, I'm sorry to say one of my favorite things is gone. That well and Iron Mike.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Just let people know about that.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Take care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hoban has done just that. Good morning, Hoban. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Great conversation. I was calling, to keep it short. You know, I'm so glad that you responded to the fellow a couple of calls back. You know, there's a book, it's a very short book. It's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And it makes a fundamental premise that our job is to transform ourselves through hard work every day. And it also makes the premise that if we focused on doing that in our lives and enough people did that, that while we wouldn't live in a perfect world, a lot of the problems that we have would probably go away to some extent. And, you know, we can never forget what the fight is about, right? Like, we have to fight the fight, but the fight is to allow us to have the freedom to explore ourselves and this world and to keep working to transform ourselves into better people. And we can never forget, like, that's like what we're here to do, right? So I'm really glad you gave that positive response to him. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Great conversation.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much, Hoban. Take care. You know, I think that we are complex beings. And I think that we can hold truths that seem to be in conflict, and I think that we can hold them together. Like, we are in some dire straits. The world is on fire. Things are very ugly. When we look at the political scene, when we look at how many people are treating each other, when we look at the racism, the rape culture, the transphobia that is absolutely murderous levels, when we look at poverty and houselessness, when we look at the devastation of our planet, when we look at our imperialist wars and military spending, dire. Horrible, and we need to be active, and we need to work ever so hard to turn that over. And it's really important to laugh with your friends. It's really important to hold each other.
And what it said on the Temple of Delphi, know thyself.
Absolutely.
I don't know any way to combat this if you don't know who you are and have your own center that's not going to get knocked against the wall all the time. Our good friend Michael Mead has been posting a lot of things about this lately that I have found not comforting so much as educational and informative and
wise
and wisdom, because there's a lot of lack. I can't believe I said that. There is an enormous lack of wisdom tremendous, our engineer is telling us, tremendous lack of wisdom happening these days from above. Don't let it be as above, so below, folks. That's sort of my thing in these days. Should we talk to Francis?
Sure. 503-231-8187. Keep the calls coming. Good morning, Francis. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm very happy KBOO is there. Okay, to begin with. And I agree with everything that you just said, Ani.
Thanks.
My concern right now is that government murder is happening all over the country, and it continues to happen and has been happening. And at the hands of law enforcement, young people are being blown away, literally blown away. Innocent, unarmed young people are being blown away, and because of some fear of them, it has been justified.
Yes.
And the only fear is because they're beautiful young people of color.
Yes.
And that is my constant concern. But I also agree with you, Ani, that we need to find ways to maintain. And one thing I've noticed, it seems that there's a lot of people, because of all that you've just mentioned that's going on in the world, who are really close to the edge.
Yeah.
And it's very important that we be kind to each other.
Yes.
Because sometimes one moment of kindness is all it takes to keep somebody from going over the edge. And we never know when that moment is.
I could not agree more.
Absolutely.
And we need to be very nice to each other. And I walk a lot. I don't have to go out in the woods. A friend of mine and I used to walk around the city and just look for pieces of country in the city. And they're everywhere, especially blackberries. I love the blackberries. They kind of resist everything. Mm-hmm. They just grow. And they say walking is a form of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I believe that in criminal justice system, from the point of contact on the street to throughout the way the DAs handle cases, through the corrupt prison industry, the whole thing needs to be repealed and replaced. If we want to repeal and replace something, that would be where we could begin repealing something. Because right now, the way it's set up, it is totally racist and oppressive and unnecessary in a whole lot of ways, totally unnecessary. But anyway, I appreciate you guys, and carry on and continue.
Thank you so very much, Francis.
Right.
And you
take
carry
care.
On and continue yourself.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Take care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also please follow along in the Twitterverse. You can do that at Positive Revolt. You can also comment on our Facebook page. You can like us there. And, you know, we like to throw in interesting articles, food for thought, all of the above throughout the week, because once a week is not enough. You can find our page on Facebook. We are Positively Revolting.
And the Twitter sphere.
At Positive Revolt.
Oh, okay.
I did that.
Did you do that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and talk to LJ.
Sorry,
shall
I was
we?
Thinking. LJ.
Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. I hope you had a really good holiday.
It was good.
All right, cool. All right, so there's a couple of things that I have to go over. Remember the protest on June the 4th?
I saw it on live stream.
We were talking about that earlier,
yeah.
So you go on and it'll
tell us about it.
Okay, so what concerns me are that Homeland Security took photos of 345
yes.
protesters' IDs.
Yes.
Marshman, of course, denied that it ever happened.
Yes.
And so the problem, and all of these photo IDs taken by Homeland Security just coincidentally happened to be all people on the left and nobody on the right. And I find that to be very, very troubling.
Absolutely disturbing.
Absolutely. And what are they going to do with that information?
A fine question.
Okay.
Nothing great, I'm thinking.
I'm sorry?
Nothing great, I'm thinking.
Yeah, duh.
I didn't mean to state the obvious, LJ, but okay.
All right. Point number two. Good in the hood.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to give this a lot of energy, but you know that there were death threats received by the organizers.
Yeah.
I also find that to be extremely troubling.
Extremely.
And I want to know if we can consider that an act of terrorism.
Well, I would, but Joanne Hardesty yesterday said, "White liberals, get over it. We get threats all the time. Just get out there and go to the parade."
And go. Yeah.
That's all what right. She said.
Good. Point number three. The water protectors at Standing Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Tiger Swan, the mercenary army that protected the interests of the pipeline folk.
Mm-hmm.
Labeled the water protectors jihadists.
Oh man.
Are you surprised?
Duh.
Right.
of course not. I don't know. I think it's time that we have to put a couple of things into perspective, that in truth and in fact, we don't live in a democracy. In truth and in fact, there is a war on people of color. And have a good day. Welcome to America.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take good care of you. Let's go ahead. We have just a couple minutes left. Let's talk to Jeremy. Good morning, Jeremy. You're on the air.
Good morning, ladies. This is the first day of the rest of your life.
You know, I love that line.
Yeah, I have another line for you. It's a beautiful line. I want to share this with you and your listeners. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Oh, no.
I thought it was Eleanor Roosevelt, but either way, whoever came up with it, I'll write
really?
It.
So, cool.
Two books. You know, water is very important. Of course, Tiger Swan is formerly Blackwater.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, water is the essence of life, and water really is so important. It is the oil of the 21st century. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah.
But there's two books I want to recommend to people to go inward and seek peace and seek strength and seek tranquility. And one of them is called Stillness Speaks by Eckhart Tolle. And it is so transformative and so beautiful. And I can't emphasize this enough. People need to turn off their electronic devices and find that stillness within. They really need to take time, if they can, each and every day, to shut everything down and go inward.
Yeah, stillness is the least appreciated thing lately. I have noticed that, too.
Well, our society has become this instant gratification. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Get out of my way. I'm in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
The other book is by Wallace Black Elk, The Sacred Ways of a Lakota by Wallace Black Elk and Bill Lyons. And Bill Lyons used to be a professor at Southern Oregon University. They used to call it the SOC, and now it's the SOW. And it's a beautiful book. It's just amazing. And, of course, Wallace Black Elk came from Pine Ridge Reservation in North Dakota, I believe, and he came to Oregon, and of course he started the Sundance ceremony that's been continuing every year since the early 80s. And I go there, try to get there every year, but I'll tell you what, when I come away from that ceremony and after sharing that love and that community with these people that come in from all over the world, I am cleansed, I am purified, and I feel stronger. And my mind is clear. I know what's important, and we just need to emphasize that. We need to take time for ourselves and seek that peace inside. And really, and water is the essence. And the other thing, I'm curious about what's going on with the Nestle Corporation and the battle of the Cascade Locks for the water bottling plant. What's the latest on that?
You know, I don't know, but I know it's still going on. The people of Cascade Locks, of course, voted to not have them, and the city council is apparently not paying any attention to them.
We believe the struggle continues, but we do not know exactly.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. We are running out of show.
I'm so glad you allowed me to chat with you ladies. Have a lovely day, and I hope you'll take some of this these pearls and run with them.
Hey, you know, I just decided to look that up because I know the quote from an Andrew Lloyd Webber song that my adopted mom would play incessantly. But it seems like it's attributed to about 7 different people. So Eleanor Roosevelt being one of them.
All right.
Bill Keane being another. All right. All right. Thanks very much for your call this morning.
Thanks, Jim. Right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that is it. We are out of show, as Lynn would say.
Thank you, callers.
We are feeling much more filled in now.
Mm-hmm.
And always good. Always good to connect. We will be back next week, positively revolting as ever. We hope you are too.
There comes a time. Every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote. They make our legs and we take back you with the opera's creature.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and here's what we have coming up for you this morning on KBOO. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, Pacific Underground. It's a show by Asians and Pacific Islanders taking the mic and taking over KBOO. And at 9 o'clock, right in just a minute or two, we'll be listening to One Land, Many Voices. Today, hearing from the author of The Unchosen, The Lives of Israelis' New Others. It's an in-depth look at African asylum seekers and migrant workers in Israel. We're going to hear a couple of announcements before we move on to One Land, Many Voices. Thanks for tuning into KBOO today.
Open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032.